Welcome to the M3 Podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here.
Welcome back to another episode of the M3 Podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Bree, and I have Pete Lemke, I think is how you pronounce your last name.
Hey, it's close.
How do you pronounce it?
Lemke.
Lemke, that's right. Let me redo that.
No, you're keeping that. That's staying.
All right, we're keeping it real here.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, likewise. I'm glad to be here. Way to break the ice.
I know. Well, Pete Lemke.
Perfect.
How have you evolved, just first of all, in San Diego? Because I see you all over the place. You're speaking, you're running businesses, you're working out, you're doing it all. And I feel like San Diego is such a perfect place to enjoy life, in my opinion, to the fullest, but at the same time, be in a sense of peace. And I see you being such a peaceful person. I remember the first time I saw you working out, I think you were with your dog as well.
Yeah.
And you, I didn't even know you could bring dogs to the gym, which is pretty cool. And
yeah,
you have that sense of grounding to yourself as well. But how has San Diego been treating you so far?
Yeah, so I just had my 14th anniversary here. And it's funny, you described it pretty well, is I always tell people San Diego can like, it can really lull you to sleep. And because there's so much to do, it's so beautiful. I came here specifically because I was like mid early 20s and I knew I wanted to start like paving the way for me permanently. And I said, well, if I'm going to do that, I might as well do it in the most desirable, most beautiful city. That way, when I know I'm working crazy amount of hours, at least I'm in San Diego.
Yeah.
But it can be a trap. Like there's always stuff to do here. It's always beautiful out. We're like becoming an entertainment capital. The people I feel like are getting younger and more active. But the point of that is it's hard to kind of keep your eye on what you're true, like you're doing. And I've seen a lot of people who just, you know, and it's okay, but they just have a lot of fun and they end up having to leave because it's not a cheap place to live, but it's not an easy place to live. So I had to really find that sweet spot because I came here and I was fortunately like I transferred with the company I was with, just bartending and serving. And I always say it was a blessing because it gave me a lot of free time. I met a lot of people who are like still in my network just by working in restaurants and socializing. I got my first job through a regular at the restaurant, but it let me like pay my bills and experience the city. But I just always had it ingrained. Okay, I know on a macro level what I need to be doing. And I think each year over the last 14 years, I've got more and more disciplined because you don't want to ever leave here. And I've just built stronger and bigger roots here. That now I always tell people this will always be home base for me. So, I don't know if that's the fairest answer, but that's it in a nutshell.
Well, where was home before?
Arizona. So not too far. And I mean, I'd like to say I'm no longer considered a zony. And this is the number one place you visit when you're in Arizona because it's so easy to come here. And it's always, everybody has that California dream, but when you're just next door, it's really like, it's more like tangible because you're right there. Yeah. And, so yeah, I grew up in Arizona and I just always knew that I wanted to try San Diego. And I was out of college. I was actually testing for the fire department. I just got my EMT certification out there. All my friends were firefighters, but I knew if I took that, the fire department's not a job, it's a career. And you do your 20, like happily, you do 20 years. It's a great career. And I kind of got a little cold feet because I'm like, I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to have to really put aside ever moving away. So I said, well, let's put a stop on that for a second. And I moved like that. And I never came back. And I like attempted to kind of keep the ball rolling in the fire direction out here. Like I interviewed for a couple ambulance, like small local ambulance companies and whatnot. But it kind of just fizzled. And I really got like stronger and stronger feelings into starting a business. And so I went that direction.
What was your first regular job? You just said earlier, regular job.
Yeah, so funny. I got recruited out of college. My regular job here wasn't my first one, but I got recruited out of college. I was a supply chain management major from Arizona State. I got recruited into that field. It was in the purchasing department for a big beverage distributor out in Phoenix. And I graduated a semester early, so I was young. I was like 21, about to be 22. And I got everything you see in college, like you want, the salary, the comp plan, benefits, all that. But like overnight, I went from bartending, going to college, to waking up at 5 a.m., commuting rush hour to West Phoenix, coming home. And I always describe it now, I think it was just like my gut IQ telling me something was off, but I was so young, I didn't know yet what that was. Where now I know immediately, and I switch positions. But I was just like, I was cringing. I got assigned like my desk, my cubicle, my laptop, my equipment, and I just couldn't settle in. And I started looking for other jobs after my first week.
1 week.
Yeah. And this was like, they came to campus, they recruited me, made the offer. It was like, this is what you go to college for. And I found a place in supply chain management. So same field that was hiring. I interviewed, did two or three interviews. They made me an offer. It was like 10K more salary, better benefits. And it was a mile from my house. So I quit this job before even the first month is up to go take this next one. Okay, this is it. This is it. That one was just bad culture, whatever I was chalking it up to. I'm not kidding. I showed up for my first day. They assigned me to, it was a huge office. They assigned me to my cubicle, laptop, same song and dance. And I'm like, oh my God, I was having like this anxiety, like the same thing. And I'm like, I'm going to go home for lunch since I live so close. And I went home for lunch and I emailed the guy who hired me and said, I can't do this. And I quit. And I called where I served and bartended through college and said, will you take me back? Even though a month ago you just had this big going away, I worked there all through college. It was a big going away. So I had to tuck my tail between my legs, but I knew something was off. I'm like, this can't be what people do for their life.
Oh, many people do.
They do. And I've told this story only a couple of times. And now it's funny, I told it more often because back then I didn't know if I was just being like, I was really having a tough time. Am I being a brat? Am I being spoiled? I'm like, what's wrong with you? And my mom's always been supportive, but even she was like, Peter, I didn't have a salary or job like that till I was like in my 40s. Are you sure? And I go, I don't know, but I can't fucking keep going. And so back then I was filled with just anxiety of, oh my God, what am I doing? And then I'm going backwards to go back and bartend.
Yeah.
But now years down the road, I'm like, it's always the reconnecting of the dots you do later on. Oh, fuck, that's why. It's what it was part of the story and what led me here. And I listen to it like daily, but I was just listening to that part of me. I didn't know what it was. It just was, everything was off and I left. Yeah. So okay. That was my first real.
How do you explain that part of you? When you're talking about your gut IQ earlier, I liked that terminology.
Well, I think your gut IQ just develops over time. I use it now because I started my first business in 2011. So I've got 12 years of running business. So you encounter every, like all size and shape people, obstacles, problems, successes, financial hardships, pandemics, mm-hmm. all that you're really building your gut IQ from a professional standpoint. And now personally, I've had the luxury, and I'm very grateful. I've gotten to meet so many people, a lot to do with being a business owner and the type of industry I've been in. So now personally, my gut IQ is really honed in on people. But I've also been single for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to be said about that is like when you're single, you develop like another sense. Everybody's got you develop another sense because so much of life you're navigating on your own. So the way that you allow new people in and release people out, it's different than if you always have. And this is not a slide at all. Like there's something beautiful about having a partner, but you develop different muscles. And I think personally, I've developed a lot of different muscles because a big part of this little adventure called life I've done single.
Some people would call it intuition. And I think it's different than the voices that we hear inside ourselves, that there's always like that little voice, or like, you know, how they have the angel and devil type of methodologies, I should say, where it's like you have these parts of you, different muscles, like you were just saying. And it's crazy how now hearing this story, it makes so much sense what you do today.
Okay, good.
You're talking about a beverage distribution company, and I'm looking literally at Drop It Now. And then even bartending, I'm like, this makes sense with being a bar and restaurant owner. All of the different factors that play into your business entrepreneurship right now. And so just thinking of the different businesses that you own, I know there's also a poke shop. What all do you have as businesses?
Yeah, so we have our sports bar in Point Loma called Good Bar. Mm-hmm. It's a bar and grill. And then we have our poke shop in East Village. And the one where all my time is wrapped up in is Dropkick, which is we are a roastery and brewery of coffee and cold brew. So we can it, keg it, and we actually package our beans for a lot of like coffee shops or places anywhere that serves coffee. So that's where my personal time, I have partners as well, but my personal time is wrapped up the most in Dropkick. And to your point, what you're saying is, yeah, but I don't think you don't realize what you said. Now it makes sense because you kind of heard reconnecting. I think we're all trying to connect it in advance and trying to make sense of it. Well, that's just not how it works. You got to just try things. And I think the biggest obstacle people have is just getting started. And I know I'm not the first person to say that, but it's so fucking true. If you know how many things, getting started at the gym is a grand ordeal until you actually start. Then it becomes your habit. Getting started with anything is the biggest challenge. And I've, over the years, I've never had a problem. I actually now thrive off the getting started days. Like the early naive learning, like whatever craft or business or habit you're getting, I thrive off that. And I love that feeling of when it starts turning into, oh, now I feel at ease. Now I feel like this is my place and my habit. But so many people, they're not trying.
There's a lot of spark and wonder to that. Like a childlike wonder when you get excited about what it can be, what it can develop into, seeing a baby grow in a way.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was just talking recently and I've written about this before is, I think we need to tap into our inner child way more than we do. And every year we just kind of like stuff it away more. And I was talking specific on, if you think about when you were a kid, you didn't have all those fears, anxiety. I think kids now kind of do because they're being raised different. But we ran free. You were carefree. You tried new things. I always to this day, I love seeing, like, don't you miss the day? Like you watch kids, they'll walk up to another kid and within 30 seconds, they're like best friends. Mm-hmm. Took my nieces to the beach. And I'm like, they have like two new, if you look at them, if I didn't know better, they look like they're best friends. They just met. What happened to us? And then you look and we just start listening to the outside noise telling us all of a sudden what you can't do. You can't do this. You can't talk that way. You shouldn't be doing that. And I think that's crap. Mm-hmm. I think it's crap. And the people that I see are enjoying life more. They are okay and comfortable being a little bit childish or like being a kid.
You made me think about literal example of children where they're constantly tripping and falling and cutting and scraping themselves and like getting into accidents and bumping their heads. And we're afraid to do that more so as we get older. And I think that represents the same figurative example in businesses mm-hmm. where people are afraid to get bumped and scraped and fall down again and again, mm-hmm. where that's the beauty of it. That's part of growing up.
You nailed it. Yes. If you knew, I just did this men's event last week.
I've been wanting to hear about this.
Oh, it was great.
Who was it for? What was it a part of?
My buddy started it earlier this year.
You had two different talks too, right?
No, this was just that men's event that I was actually formally speaking at.
Oh, okay.
But, I was saying exactly, you said we're all looking for, especially with business, we're looking for these like promissory notes or guarantees through, I just need to listen to three more podcasts. And I need to take on a mentor, maybe a second or third mentor. Mm-hmm. And I need to like, that's not how it works. There's no guarantees, especially the riskier the commitment. There's no guarantees. And I was telling the guys that is like trip, fall, bumps, bruises, fucking do that. Because you know what a mentor is going to do for you? All they're going to do is tell you how they tripped, fell, bumped. So go do that. And it was really cool because a couple guys there were like within their first year of starting a business and they asked some really like practical questions, what was going on right now in their business. I'm like, cool, you're in the tripping and falling phase. Not saying like, having advice is so like paramount, but don't let it be what, you know, the paralysis by analysis. Don't like, just fucking go.
Yeah.
You know, my best stories are those. Like I don't even like of the last 12 years, I don't talk about all these monumental success stories. And I talk about the times like we were such idiots and we did this. But that's how I developed those muscles to feel a little bit more fearless each step of the way. And you cannot, there's not a person you can bring into your life that can help you skip over that. They can't. They're just going to do it for you. And then it's, that's the best part of it, you know?
And people, I think, mistake that being fearless means that you didn't have to go through overcoming fears in the first place to get there. People think like you have to just show up and have this confidence and courage about you. And it can be a facade in a sense, but it's no, that comes from true adversity.
Yeah.
It comes from learning the hardships and making them look or feel easier because you've created that system. That's why businesses have systems and processes, mm-hmm. is to understand that we've had to go through all the trial and error to make it that flow state.
Totally.
And your speech with them, because I'm thinking the second one that came up to mind was you were in a park where they were doing a workout.
Yes, that was it.
That was it. Yeah. Okay. And then as these men are literally doing physical activity, mm-hmm. they're understanding the literal bumps and bruises that come with this.
Yeah. And it's a friend I've known, actually one of the first guys I met when I moved out here, and he started it earlier this year, and I'm such a supporter of what he's doing. I think everybody needs a community, wherever you find it. You can find it at church, you can find it in a men's group, you can find it in a book club. And he's trying to create that, and specifically for men. Because I think right now we have there's a weird cloud over like masculinity and what makes a man. And I love he's built the fitness element into it, which I said, dude, that's camaraderie. That is part of the community. You're doing something hard together. If you think of anything like team-based sports or being in the military or anything, like so much of that camaraderie is built around doing hard things together and getting through it. Yes. So I dug that. I sprinkled my little fairy dust on with the cold plunge. I'm like, hey, can I? Well, A, I brought, I'm like, can I bring our coffee and cold brew? And I want to bring a cold plunge. He's like, you want a what? Has he had it? And none of them, like, hey, I'm going to bring a cold plunge. We're going to fill the ice. And we're going to do it at the end of all of it. So we did that together too, which was awesome seeing guys who like, oh, they were terrified at the thought of it, did it. But, you know, a couple guys who I met there, I met everybody there, but a couple guys asked to grab like lunch after and we went. And now we keep in touch. One of them we're going to meet. He's in the fitness space and is wanting to get his own like brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. Another guy's in the IT space. He's got his own firm. But that's what it's about. I'll keep talking with them. They're actually great guys too. We're really well aligned. They're very fitness forward, entrepreneurs, all that. So I benefited from speaking and being at it. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And now I got this little community.
And you just hit something earlier that I love, the idea of reshaping masculinity. Do you think that being a business owner has also shaped your masculinity in a different way than I would say like traditional? Like I even just think of that old school, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, and I have to hold this leadership role. I feel like as a leader with businesses, especially in San Diego, we're very diverse, up and coming, I should say, innovative when it comes to masculinity. Mm-hmm. When you are running these different types of businesses, because they're not all the same, mm-hmm. they have a different role for being a leader in each one. How is that shaped for you being a man in that role?
That's a really good question. I don't know if it's as much shaped my masculinity, which it has. I think it's more the leadership part. Mm-hmm. You said I'm such a big believer in leadership in any company, but I'm also a big believer in the leader should generate, create more leaders, whether it's a man or a woman. And there was a period of time, especially through COVID, we were very female heavy staff, which is great. And I would always say, once you've been doing this long enough, you can kind of see how a woman's mind operates different than a man's mind and kind of plug. I always make a joke, dude, I'll hire a parakeet if it's the best person for the position. So it's not like anything gender specific. I just was starting to see patterns in the way their minds work. I'm like, okay, you're going to go. And they're very organized, detail oriented. Like, okay, you're going to do that. But I had to also learn managing and having leadership in like a female dominated company is much different than even a blended or a, like right now we're kind of more male men forward, which is not, there's no rhyme or reason why it's happened that way. But I've had to learn, especially the pandemic was such a teacher of leadership and probably masculinity, because people were terrified and they couldn't turn that terror off when they came to work. So they brought a lot of that to work. So we had to harbor these people's fears. Like, am I going to lose this job? Is my home? Like we had to harbor that every fucking day. And literally they know, I'm like, I'm still going through this too. So you're truly tapping into leadership. So yeah, I think I'm really grateful for being in this position. I can only be in this type of a position, meaning I want the good and I want the bad. I want to be the person in front of the line. I just do. I don't know if it'll always be the case, but I do. I want all the problems. I want all the successes. Not all, literally. But I want to be the person who's leading the way through it. And what's great is we've developed some good leaders along the way, which is huge. And some of them who actually moved on into other like positions or careers, but you can tell or they come back and they're very thankful for their time. So
backtracking, the bumps and bruises, and you had just said it, you can get 2-3 mentors, you can listen to these podcasts, but they're all going to tell you the same thing, the bumps and bruises throughout business and the journey of life in general too. But how have you overcome, and what are some examples of those bumps and bruises as you started your business? Because you said, I got the itch to start a business and decided to leave your beautiful, perfect dream job that everybody thinks is so great after a week. And you went back to bartending and you knew there was something different for you. So where did that gut IQ tell you, like, I need to start a business? And what were the hardships getting into that role?
Yeah. So I think my biggest bumps and bruises were just not having the experience, never doing it before. Every business I've started, even current day, I didn't run that business before. I didn't manage a business in that space. So it's really carrying the insecurities of, or like people are calling the term imposter syndrome, is coming over those fears of, fuck, I don't know this well enough. And I've gotten, as you compound businesses, you start becoming okay and developing a better relationship with that feeling. But those bumps and bruises for sure were just like, I don't know, I've never been down this road, so I might've made a bad decision, or it slipped and fell. But again, it's the only way that I have gotten better and better is by, I keep going. And yes, I don't have that part of me to operate any other way. And I think probably anybody listening to this, the biggest bump and bruise was a pandemic, because we were all faced with a situation I hope we never have to be faced with again. But it was, for me, if you asked me before pandemic, what's your biggest fear? My biggest fear was losing my business feeling. Well, welcome pandemic. It just wiped out everybody's, we didn't know how long, but it basically just said, hey, we're taking over. Mm-hmm. So you had to confront, everybody confronted their biggest fear, me included. So now, did I want that teacher of the pandemic to give me this new muscle? But now I look like, okay, I've come to terms with that fear. I don't really carry that fear around the way I used to, which is good. But I didn't know, like, I hadn't been through that. And we were in, it was a daily, if not hourly, state of holy shit through arguably the first or second year. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answered your question.
Yes, but that's what made me think of it in the first place, was you were just talking about the pandemic and how roles and the way that you would hire people had evolved and changed. And it showed up during that time where you were dominantly female oriented in the business because of attention to detail, these different factors. And then that, as an example, was just right there. Is I had a feeling that was going to be the biggest bump or bruise in your hardship for owning businesses, because most people had to shut down. Restaurants really had to adapt. A lot of people were forced to do things that they weren't comfortable with, ready for. And because of that, a lot of businesses who might have been afraid to fail before did actually have to close down. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, you weren't one of them. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
But did you guys ever have to shut down completely, or were you guys told to shut down and stayed open, or what was that like?
Yes and no. Well, we kept the sports bar shut down by choice. One, because we have a liquor license that we didn't serve food at the time, and we actually reopened, built out a kitchen, and now serve food. But we were like the last category of business that even qualified to reopen. Like, even if you're an outdoor, you're good. If you serve food, you're good. We were like, it was a straight bar before pandemic. But we also decided to keep it closed because we acquired Dropkick, a coffee and cold brew company. We also just gotten the Poke Shop up. So we had some other things like that we were building out. But the Poke Shop, we definitely did. When we went back to, this is only relevant because I was talking to a guy this week about the colored tiers we used to be in. When we rolled into the purple tier, which was like December of 2020, we closed for the 3 months, the December, January, February, which was really hard to do. But we had our whole opening honeymoon robbed. We were scheduled to open March of 2020, which is such a bummer. And we opened in May. So even our grand opening, it was when we were in the period of no sitting down, only to go. So, oh shit, people are coming in and now they can't even sit down. I can't talk to them. I'm in a mask and they have to grab their bowl and just go. So then we were just navigating. Honestly, the first year was supposed to be the funnest time. Like, you did all the work. We did the construction. We built out the menu. We got everything. And then we were just dealing with all the feedback everybody else is dealing with. Should we be open? Should we not be open? You guys are XYZ for being open, or I'm so proud of you guys for being open. It was so fucking crazy. So yeah, we kind of bobbed and weaved like a lot of companies. So I think now that we've been through it, our approach would be much different. Not at all saying I don't want it to happen again, but I think the approach would be different. I think a lot of people's approach to it would be different.
How?
Well, what we all had in common was we didn't know. Again, now we all have the experience. We all have the experience professionally and personally. Okay, now I know. We even have an experience, even though none of us are any more educated as like doctors on the matter. But I'm sure you probably were. I was at like the very beginning. I thought this was like, oh my God, if I walk outside, I'm going to drop dead. Not to that extreme. But I think we all now understand that side of it a little better. We all understand as business owners, we were taking orders because we didn't know the medical side. Oh my God, we don't want to contribute to this. And now we do. So I think the defiance would be at a completely different level now, rightfully so. But that goes with what we said. We all muscled through it and suffered through it. So now you kind of look at, I'm sure everybody now, when you hear them say there's a potential shutdown or there's an increase in cases, the way we responded 3 years ago to how, if you heard that right now, you'd be like, okay, cool. And then you go about your day.
Hey, M3 family, check this out. Whether you're a fitness enthusiast or someone looking to take that first step towards a healthier you, First Form's got you covered. Their high-quality supplements are designed to help you perform at your very best, from premium protein powders, complete micronutrient packs, and cutting-edge pre-workout formulas that will kickstart your workouts. First Form is all about getting real people real results, and I'm one of them. I've been using First Form supplements consistently for over 2 years now, and the difference in my overall health is incredible. I've been hitting new personal bests in the gym, getting better quality sleep, and feeling completely energized throughout my entire workday. What sets First Form apart is their commitment to quality and education. They provide the best nutrient-dense ingredients, plus their products are backed by rigorous testing and research. And guess what? They've got a special offer just for M3 listeners. Click the link in the show notes to explore the full range of supplements and receive free shipping on your next order. So don't wait. Take the first step towards a healthier, happier you with First Form, because I know your goals are within reach and I'm here to help you crush them. Thank you, First Form, for supporting our show, and thank you all for listening. Now let's get back to our podcast.
I went from putting gloves on at the gas station to like probably not even a month or two later realizing like it's not as bad. And it would have been, if I was 80 years old with other medical health like risk factors or conditions, I could see that for somebody who might have gotten sick and deathly sick. But for myself, I'm a lot healthier than the general population.
Yeah.
I think I would have been okay.
Yeah. I remember, maybe the first month or two I was doing, like, I fortunately before then had stocked up on like kettlebells, outdoor workout stuff. Yeah. I was doing it with San Diego. So you do outdoor workouts. Oh, perfect. I'm just going to move my exercising outside. And I started having some guys tag along and we were doing beach workouts. And I remember people, like one time we posted from it, there's maybe five or six of us and like all sorts of pissed off, like that better be your last workout. That I'm like, what? Now looking back, you're like, dude, really?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure we all have those stories.
Same with things like golfing and surfing. I don't know why those couldn't have stayed open. They even shut down our beaches. I'm like, those are the healthiest.
That was my melting point.
Yeah.
The beaches and the trails. I'm like, and the parks.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, you, at least over at the beach at that time, I was living downtown. So you like couldn't escape it. And that was my escape, is going to the park. I was legit solo. I brought my kettlebells to this little park up in Bird Rock. And I had a local security guard come through to tell me, like, I'm working out on a mat by myself.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make this about COVID, but we're talking.
We're talking.
I took my book to Kate Sessions Park, my favorite park in PB, mm-hmm. just to go read. I'm sitting up against a tree reading my book by myself. And this was when they opened parks back up and they had some sort of like active exercise. So I'm solo sitting down back against a tree reading my book. And there's like people, a little couple doing a workout there. It was kind of populated and they had cop cars driving through the actual park. And I couldn't believe it. They drove up to me and said, hey, I forget the term, the silly little term we put on it. It was active exercise or active something. And he rolls his window. There's two guys, two cops, and they're like, hey, the park's only meant for active something. And I look, I thought they're messing with me. They're like, oh, that's funny. He's like, no, for real. You have to go. I'm reading a book in the park. I'm like, you guys are nuts. So yeah, then I was like, where do we go? But.
Oh, COVID. And I feel like now everything is like restaurants, businesses, bars, all of that are just booming now. I feel like the economy has changed because of that. but how has it been since you guys evolved? Because obviously now you tripped, you bumped, right? You fell, but then you got back up. And I feel like getting back up, Dropkick is now probably launching big time. I see you guys all over, like you were just talking about mutual friends, talking about it as well. So what are your aspirations with Dropkick? What are, and the other businesses too?
Yeah, Dropkick's unique. We're in a different space for sure, because we distribute our product and we, a lot of like restaurants and bars carry us. So we're still in tune with how business is going for them. We're also in a lot of like grocery stores, convenience stores, all mm-hmm. those, which is great. We have a diverse customer base. Restaurants and bar anywhere in the F&B industry right now, it's a really weird time, because a lot of them did make it through, and anybody in this space would admit it. A lot of them got government support, like the SBA funding, mm-hmm. which was critical, because if that didn't come through, all your favorite places would be shut down. But that's all money that's either owed back. Well, most of it's loans and owed back. So now they've hit that point where they're starting to pay back on those loans. And then we have this fun little inflation game going on where, look, I would actually be curious to see what average meal, like food prices, bar prices, food and bev just across the board pre-pandemic to now. It's obscene. And it's only going up. We've had to increase in the last 3 years two or three times. So that's what I would say. It's always the end customer who's going to feel the biggest pinch. And then customer now is, they're starting to almost throw in the towel. Like, I can't do this. I can't go out for a burrito and spend $25. Yeah. That's a real thing. And drinks are more, food is more. But we have another minimum wage increase in January. So all these service-based jobs, it's crazy to the point where I think there might be a small little wave of more places just closing, unfortunately. And because you hit a point where break even is only, when you break even, you kind of have something further in the distance. Oh, we're breaking even to this, and it's just becoming more and more challenging. I think there's going to be more places that close. And you add on top of that, we're in the state of California, which is the hardest state to run a business. So everything here is just kind of working against us. And that's why I said it's an interesting place. And the rebound was great coming out of pandemic. Like 2022 was incredible. 2023 settled back in, especially in like tourism and hotels and travel. So 2024 is going to be interesting to see how the playing field sort of levels. And that's not, I always use the term, it's not a doomsday approach, but it's just the reality of it. When you go into a place, you should not get offended at the restaurant and be like, oh my God, your enchiladas are $22 out. No, like they don't want it that way. They don't. But when minimum wage is going up to $16.50 and everything else has increased, food costs and all that, like you have no choice. You legit, well, you do. It's raise it or close. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird place.
I saw Costera just the other day had a service fee that they put on the very front of the restaurant. Yep. So you walk in and they tell you that they're going to give you a surge charge.
Look at most receipts now, anywhere you go. It's most of the places somewhere like 3%, 4%, or 5%, mm-hmm. but they add it on there. And honestly, like, it's hard to blame them, because the alternative is you just bake that into your drinks or food, but they're like adding it on there, which that tells you every last dollar matters. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I don't want to be right. I don't think it's going to be anything super drastic, but I think, you know, you do kind of build a community when you work in hospitality long enough, especially San Diego. It's a big, small city. So we know a lot of, like, we know and talk to a lot of other like management groups, operators, all that. And there's a lot of similar feedback, but yeah.
What was your first business that you opened, and what advice would you give somebody who is trying to open a business right now? I know you mentioned just try, but beyond that, getting themselves set up and feeling like they can go through all of this and successfully make it.
Yeah. Question. You got good questions.
Oh, thank you.
It's not your first rodeo. First business was a limo bus company.
Wow.
I know. First business in San Diego. And one of the wildest, it's actually, that was a springboard to all of our other businesses. Me and my partner bought a bus off Craigslist, and then it turned into 8 buses, and we were the biggest. It was crazy.
How cool.
Everybody says that. And that's why we got into it. And that's before, it was right a couple years before Uber. That's when you would see him all the time through San Diego. And he worked in hospitality. I was working in beverage. I'm like, yeah, there's buses everywhere. So we knew there was a demand. We knew we had a customer base for it. And we were both really aggressive. And we ended up within 6 months having 8 buses. But the cool part is only on the outside. On the inside, we had to follow every bit of legal following as like your city transit service, the public transportation. We had to do all like annual CHP inspections. We had to work with PC permit. We had to do everything. So like the unfun, and it's just a crazy industry. And it was like a couple years in, then you start getting Uber coming in and all that. But that was the first business. So thankful for it because it's what like springboarded us into everything else. But to someone who's starting now, it's my advice is so much different than it used to be. Because I always ask someone more, my first initial questions if they're considering starting is more based around like their personal life. What are your priorities and what are your values right now as a person? You might be starting a family, you might be getting married, you might have a child, because you have to put some of those as a second or third priority. Mm-hmm. And if you're okay with that, okay, then let's move that to the next question. And right now, it's never been easier to start a business, which is a huge fucking concern. Meaning you could put a sign out in your yard yesterday or tomorrow and start an Instagram, and now all of a sudden you own a business, yes, so to speak. That's not good. The easier it is to start, the easier it is to fail, and that means more people are doing it. So I think it's kind of recognizing, are you solving a problem? What are you doing? Like, really doing research and like evaluating the market and what you're getting into. I don't really believe in like rigid business plans, but I do think you should do some serious deep diving into not tomorrow, like maybe the next 5 years, and see if it'll still be a thing. I don't know. There's so much more context. That's a loaded question. There's so much context because the type of business they're starting, are they a solopreneur? There's so much now. And I love, love, love talking to people who are considering starting a business, because now I know there's a lot of people that would be like, fucking go, just do. I used to be that person. And now it's, take a couple steps back, and at least I can kind of help you encounter what the future you is going to experience. And are you cool with that? And if you are, then yeah, then let's go. Because once you decide, then let's go. But right now, so much of the work industry has gone remote. The workforce is changing in general. You're remote right now. A lot of people are remote, whether you run your own business, whether you work for a company. And the only reason I bring that up is I say, well, hey, most people look at running a business as what is their key, the key ingredient is like, it's freedom of time. Well, are you working for a company now that's giving you a lot more freedom in how you schedule your time? So maybe reconsider that, or at least weigh that out as an option. And then there's a lot of businesses now. We try to create this culture in our company is like where you kind of are running your own business between what our performance requirements are, the length of leash we give you, what you can grow into. There's a lot of places that you can have that entrepreneurial feeling and not carry all the fucking baggage and hardship. It's so much. And what I hate to see is someone who gets in it because right now it's never been more popular. So they get into it for that reason. And then it ruins the things that really matter to them. Because I said this on a podcast a few months ago, at the end of the day, running my business just provides me my income to do the things I really love fucking doing. So if the way you make your money makes you happy and you can go do the things that really make you happy, then just do that. Right. And especially now looking at where the workforce is going, guys, I just have to be running a business. I think it's because I've been 12 years into it. So there's no turning back. but I think now, especially for youngsters coming out, it's just, there's this like weird, either you own a business or you work for the man and you're a nobody. No fucking way. That's crazy. Some of my closest friends from a long time ago, they're super successful careers, tons of freedom, financially stable. They've built beautiful families and they have time to spend with their family. That's the shit that matters. So it was a long-winded answer, but that's like a very common question. And I think starting a business takes on so much part of it takes a chokehold on so much of your life that you just have to be ready for it. And if you are, fuck, let's go.
That's crazy. So many things. Just to touch on the very last one, you had said you either have to work for the man or you're a nobody. That's what I was thinking about when talking about the masculinity, and you don't see being a leader that way. That it's, I'm the man, you have to work for me. It's like, how can I give people opportunities? And that leads me into your next part as being a mentor for somebody who's in the fitness industry that wants to open their brick and mortar. Somebody who put myself in those shoes right now, listening to this story, I was thinking about how I wanted to create a business and start a brick and mortar as well. Did I genuinely want it? Sorry, clients, but no. Mm-hmm. I did it because I was listening to what my clients were asking for, supply and demand. Mm-hmm. I wanted to supply their demands and please them and do the things that they wanted. Would every client like to be in person with their trainer? Yes, myself included. I would love to be with my coach training him. But I've learned that it's possible to do these things because he still creates a connection for us, virtually contacting us and keeping that line of communication strong without having to have the in-person presence. And when I started to think about all the things that I really valued, having a remote job and being location free, having the opportunity to schedule my time out, my day, my mornings, like that is so valuable to me mm-hmm. that I don't want to give that up. And I don't want to rent or lease a commercial space. I don't want to buy a home because I thought when I went to Hawaii, everybody did it in their backyard. So why not have it in your own place? You own the place. Because it was just bonkers to me that like you would pay a lease for a place that you didn't own. And you would have like, I was like, I'm going to pay double rent. My rent would probably be like between this house and the other place, like it'd probably be like 12 to 15,000 on average. And I'm like, and I still wouldn't own anything. It was, It was weird to me to feel that as a value. I didn't see any value in that. And then to invest a couple hundred grand into building out the gym itself, the equipment, and then from going to like, why can't I just do it in my own house? I can do this and put it here. Then I was thinking in my head, well, shit, I'm stuck in this place for at least 5 minimum years. If mm-hmm. that's what I decided to do is own this house, like at least you could do a 3-year, even go year by year. And I could sell the business. I could do whatever and give it to somebody else at some point. But when you're the person in the house, then you're the one running all the classes as well. Mm-hmm. And if somebody doesn't show up to train the clients, who's going to have to get up out of bed at 5 a.m. and go do that? I was worried about all of this, that it felt like pulling teeth. I said, you know what? I'd rather be the person who sticks to the remote job. And what I found to be interesting is I'm building out a course to help other, hopefully, fitness business owners build out an online space and have that same opportunity. That's something that provides value to me. I feel more passionate about sharing that than it does for me to train clients. Like I said, sorry, clients, but I see so much happiness in that. So for somebody who's wanting to open a brick and mortar, I'm stoked for them, but I'm curious, how's the advice been for this person so far in you talking to them and what their dreams and aspirations are? Do they have a family? Do they have values?
Yeah. I love that. We talked about this when we were
at the gym.
Yeah. We were talking about this. And you told me about that, and you 100% are making the right decision.
Thank you.
The good news is, too, is like in 5 years from now, if you decide you want the brick and mortar, it's not going anywhere.
Exactly. Then
do it then. Do it then. But like you're listening to yourself, which a lot of people don't do. They listen to all the outside noise, including clients. You know, a client or can be part of the noise that steer you in a direction that you just don't want to go. So I haven't had a chance to go as in like in detail quite yet one-on-one with him. Like we talked there.
Yeah.
It was the four of us. And then I ran into him at the gym and now he wants to connect because he's decided that's what he wants to do. So I haven't found all those other details out. I know all of his training right now is in person. So that's already what he's in the business of doing. So he might like it. And again, like this goes full circle with the advice you gave before is like your story and his could be totally different. So in the context of giving someone any sort of advice, I want to know all that. What you just said, you fucking nailed it. So I would say, no, you're crazy if you open a brick and mortar. And now you know that too. I'd be crazy, right? Could you do it? Absolutely. Would you be successful? Absolutely. Would you be happy and fulfilled? Probably not. So that's what's tough is the best advice I got, which is really helpful, and I still have to tap into it regularly, is you hear people talk all the time about not listening to your haters. Not listen to your haters, not letting them take you off course, blah, blah, blah. But someone's, okay, well, do you also listen to your, if you want to call them your praisers, which could be your clients, or it could be your social, your network. It mm-hmm. could be your friends, your family. Because the same thing can happen is if you listen to people like, great job, keep going. And all of a sudden you take that in. I have to keep going that direction. Like all your clients are like, yeah, Rob, go to the brick and mortar. You could get yourself going down a road just listening to that noise. The same way if someone's spewing hatred, now all of a sudden you go off trail, like, oh yeah, they're right. And you're listening. You can't listen to either. You need to hear them both. But if you really let either dictate your course, that's suicide. And it's really challenging because I realized as a younger entrepreneur, I was chasing those little success hits. Like I wanted to be able to put something out. Oh my God, I just got so much praise for that. And they loved it. And it was that next little fucking cookie given to me where now it's different. I've definitely had to train and discipline myself differently now, but I realized, okay, I think I was just building and compounding based off of what they all kind of wanted and where were we going? So I don't know if you've encountered that, but I think it's really important as far as starting a business and keeping the course of your life, you have to truly, like, truly follow your own feelings, gut IQ, intuition, everything you're describing here. And that doesn't mean you close out people. Like, by all means, you still want to hear even the criticism. Like, I want to hear the criticism for sure. I want to hear the praise for sure. I've had to really train myself to not let it change my path either direction.
That internal gut feeling that you have. Yes.
Yeah. Because you think, like, right now, we have a way of hearing praise and criticism like more than ever, mainly through digital, like through social outlets. That's not fucking healthy. That's really not healthy, because whether we like it or not, me included, there could be something that's said to you completely said about you or to you out of context that you read, and it might corrupt your entire day or more. You know, it definitely could throw you out of a constructive way of thinking and acting. And if you're in a place of building a business or a family or whatever, your head's got to be in the game. And there's just so much noise right now, so much noise. And if you keep listening to it, you're not going to have your own, like, you're going to be building these big walls and not even happy about what's going on inside of them. So that's my story.
So what does Pete do to take out all that noise? Another form of asking this question I like to ask people is, what do you do to keep yourself rooted to your true core values in life?
Like, yeah.
I know you to work out. I know you to not read a book and Kate Sessions and enjoy the peace and serenity of being in your own thoughts. But what does that look like? What is there practice or some sort of businessman routine that we have? What is it like when you get to even just travel? Because you're always on the go. So even whether you're in San Diego, it's a home base or not, there's got to be things that you do to keep yourself true to who you are.
Yeah. Well, I think my core tentacles are going to be all the same shit you hear a lot of people say. And you're right. That's good. I exercise. Like, that's always my home base and foundation is I have to be physically and mentally healthy. I have to. I'm not providing anybody a service if I'm not physically and mentally healthy. So that's
that you put both together.
Yeah. You have to. But I do a lot of stuff that other people talk about regularly. And I think most people now are putting the emphasis on that. That's not what's going to get you where you're going. I think those are all our responsibilities as human beings. You have this body, you're blessed with all the, like, physical, mental, everything you're given. It's your responsibility to take care of it. What's more important than our body? It's our vehicle for where we're going. So I always say, I want to go a lot of fun fucking places. So I'm going to take extra good care of my body.
Yes.
But what I do to tune out the noise was the question. That's my daily discipline. But I don't know if you've read the Don Miguel book, Four Agreements.
Yes.
He said one of the four is don't take things personal.
Mm-hmm. That's number two.
There you go. But he said something in there that, like, really stuck with me for years is, I'm just playing a character in your life. Like, how you perceive me right now, I'm just playing this character. And I hope it's a really good character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your take on that is your take on that. And I've had to be okay with that. And I'm actually now, I'm so confident in the people whose character I'm playing in person. Mm-hmm. Not from a distance, not on social media, not anywhere else, not from a third party. Like, the people that I'm personally, like, playing a character in their life, they're all amazing relationships. Like, I think I'm batting 1,000, damn near batting 1,000. So anybody else outside mm-hmm. of that, I'm just a character in their life. Mm-hmm. And I had to be okay with that. It's like that, the saying, what other people's opinion about me is not my, it's none of my business. I've become okay with that too, because if the people who have an opinion, good or bad, about me, and I'm playing a character in their life in person, they'll tell me. And I thrive actually off the conversations where, if you brought to me, like, Peter, I kind of was offended by what you said yesterday. I thrive off that. I need to know that. The same way as, like, Peter, you know, you really made me happy yesterday. But right now in my life, anybody who I have in person, which is all I care about, people who I deal with in person directly, whether it's as little as me and you do, or if it's a business partner,
yes,
that's all I really care about. And anybody else outside of that, I don't take it personal. I don't. And I've had really, like, hard things said about me over the years of running business, because it's just what you sign up for. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell people all the time, it's like, if you're in a leadership position, you also have to bear the bad news a lot of times, or make the hard decisions, bad decisions people won't agree with. I've always done that. And in my younger years, it used to really upset me hearing people were upset by that, or even, like, mad, or it somehow slander me, whatever. But I had to realize, like, I signed up for this. And what I do pretty well is like the decisions I do make are typically for a better outcome, whether you like them or not. But I've always just been in that position. That's really hard to become grounded and disciplined hearing, even if you don't, not with your own two ears. It can be challenging, especially in today's really sensitive world, but I'm okay with it. And you want to carry around a bad feeling about me from a distance, that's totally fine. And I'll play that role. I'll be that character. But I can't say enough, the people who I am, I deal with you directly as a friend, as a family member, as a business partner, as a customer, as an employee, like I'm as close to batting 1,000. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. And you said it earlier in the episode right now, you had to develop disciplinary skills. And I feel like that's one of them. Is you just said it right now again too, is you have to be grounded in discipline and know what your values, your perception of this world looks like, and that everybody else's opinions, judgment, all of that shouldn't sway your practice and, mm-hmm. and journey.
Yeah. And I love the messaging that's become like super popular now as far as like physical fitness has never been more talked about, which is great. That's how we should be. People are looking younger. People are living longer. People are healthier, more active. Same with mental health. I know there's a lot of like animosity about mental health right now, but there's also a lot of good. At least it's on our radar. We're talking about it. Like our parents' generation, you didn't talk about that. Even or physical fitness. Our parents, they weren't fucking going to the gym. They were eating shit. So it's great seeing that. But I always lean back and like, guys, that's great, but that is a fraction of your day. And that is your responsibility for yourself. You know, there are plenty of people who they can do all those good things and they just hang it up and don't perform or execute. No, like you got the responsibilities out of the way. Like now, how do you execute? Now, how do you show up that you've got like this healthy, well-rounded physical and mental like vehicle driving for you? Mm-hmm. That's the key. So I always lean on that as if I don't do things like that, shame on me because I was given this body. And if I let it go to shit, shame on me. So yeah, that's where the discipline comes in.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
And just to finish out, close up, because I'm like, this is such a great conversation too, is I like to ask people about the waves in life, the things they can control, the things that they can't always, the waves that you get pummeled by or you have to let pass you. How do you handle the waves in life, the ones that you get to surf first and then the ones that you have to let go or get pummeled by?
Oh, you're ending with an incredible question. You are spot on. Well, I love the saying, this too shall pass. And it has a lot to do with the waves or the seasons of life. Is I think when we're having just everything go wrong, we often think the rain will never stop. This is just absolute fucking wine. Mm. But when everything's going right, we don't think that way. But the truth is, both are going like you just said, both, there's going to be a new set of waves, whether good or bad. And you might be on a great set and then all of a sudden you get fucking smacked. Mm-hmm. You have to remember it's going to pass. And that doesn't mean you can't prepare for the harder ones any better, but you can remind yourself this will pass. Now, what am I going to do during this? What can I control through it until the next one? Because when we're on cloud nine, our headspace is completely different. We don't realize this can pass mm-hmm. and it probably will pass. Nothing can ever be this good. It might not be like, okay, you have doomsday right around the corner, but you got taken down a peg or taken down a peg. That's why I always remind myself, this is going to pass. So even for the good, enjoy it. Enjoy it. And I think what you saw that I was speaking at recently, unfortunately, my uncle passed away and I spoke and hosted his celebration of life.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And I said something to this effect is the room, it was at least 120 people. Mm. And talk about a worse reason to be in a room together, right? But I sat there and I'm like, okay, but right now, this room of people will never be together ever again. They never have been together. This collaboration people never will be together again. So like, it's a really beautiful thing. And it was a really like, a really grapple with emotions because we're celebrating someone who passed away. It's the saddest thing you can ever think of. But it was also, the room was just filled with fucking like people with filled with love. And again, it'll pass, but like in the moment, let's enjoy it and let's control what we can. And at that point, what we could control is my aunt really wanted to have as many people come up and speak to fill the room with love. Like I want to hear their stories. This next 70 years old. So make the most out of it. But that's what we could control at the moment. What we couldn't control is that he passed away. It's like the most terrible thing in the world. So Hopefully that wasn't like a grim ending.
No, it's true. Death is our one promise in life. What is it? There's that famous like tattoo. I forgot who has it, but it's like the two things promised in this world are death and taxes.
Death and taxes. Yeah. But you're so right about the waves. Like that is just, that is life. And I don't know if that's, if you think of it that way, but there's nothing we can do to control the waves that are coming in. So that's my best advice.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you for being on the show.
Of course. My pleasure. Ooh. Long time coming.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.